Kof Dalet Elul, Tuesday the 27th of September, Rabbi Gedalia Lieberman, a Shaila on an Esrog.
Yeah, somebody pointed out Shloshim Yom Kod Machag. People are probably wondering why I've chosen to speak about an Esrog rather than about a Shofar. I mean, first of all, they're not giving me another chance to speak, so I'm going to get it in now. Another reason maybe is the Shaila from last year, so it's even before Rosh Hashanah. So last year, I have a family member who was, my minig is to, our minig in Lubavitch is to make a brocha on, to use an esrog from Calabria in Italy. It's the esrogim we take for reasons. To use Calabria and Esrogim, the ones that come from the area of Calabria and Italy.
South Italy.
Yeah. So I had the family member who was actually there collecting Esrogim, so he sent me one. But he didn't want to deprive me of the excitement and the privilege of choosing an Esrog. So he sent me a few, in order that I should be able to choose the one I want. And he said, the ones that are left, you can sell on, make a little bit of money. So I had a couple of esrogim. Instead of making a little bit of money, I made a couple of shiurim. Each esrog had its own shiur. One of the esrogim was a nice esrog, and I actually showed the esrogim to somebody, and somebody said he wants this one, this particular esrog that I want to talk about. And it was a nice esrog. It was clean. It was an esrog without a pitum. Now, that itself is obviously not a problem, as people are, I'm sure, are aware. That although there's a sugya, there's a Mishnah that says nitlup it's moso, it's posel, if a pitum is missing, it's posel, and it's a major sugya, and there's a major machlokas rishonim, exactly how to understand which part of the pitum is missing, the top of the pitum, the entire pitum, maybe it means the ukutz. There's different opinions of how to learn, but there's a rosh that says that this whole issue of the pitum coming off is all if it gets knocked off. However, if mitzad tulda, if this is a kind of estrogen that grows without a pitum, so then it doesn't need a pitum. Now, today we don't have any esrogim that literally grow without a pitum, but there are some esrogim where the pitum falls off at the very early stage of the growth. And in other words, as it grows, at an early stage the pitum becomes weak and falls off. It's like a natural process. And most poskim understand that that's the halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch from the Rosh, that means that it's an esrog without a pitum. It's okay that it had a pitum originally. That's an esrog that grows without a pitum. Part of the growing process, it naturally falls off. Part of the growing process, that's fine. That's why you'll see in the market lots of esrogim that don't have the pitum, and they're okay. So this is one of those esrogim. They're esrogim in Calabria. Many of them, even most of them, I think, don't have pitums. Now, the Mogen Avraham brings a mabit that says simon. How do you know if there was a pitum or not? You look at the esrog. How are you able to tell if it's an esrog that grew without a pitum, or it's an esrog that the pitum was knocked off afterwards in the shop or whatever? So he says that if there's kamin guma, there's like a little dent in the top of the esrog, the pitum's like dried out and it goes in a little bit. Then you know that it was part of the growing process. That's the way it grew, and that esrog is kosher even without the pitum. The poskim can say that if you saw it in the tree and it grew without a pitum, then even if it doesn't have that dent, you can also be makel. But that's the simon of the mabit. If it has this little indent, then it's an esrog that's grown without a pitum. This esrog had a little bit more than an indent. It actually had like a hole in the place of the pitum. So it wasn't just a little. It would be better if I had the esrog to show, but as you'll hear shortly, I cut it up, so I don't have it. But instead of just having a little dent in the place of the pitum, there was actually a hole in the place of the pitum. So I wasn't sure what to make of this esrog. I mean, so I had a look, opened up some svarim, and I came across Mishnah Brura, Simon Tov Reish Vem Ches, the Simon about esrogim, I think Sifkot and Lamed Beis, discusses this exact shaila. And he brings a Bikur Yaakov, who's the Oruch Laner on Shas, who he's more well known for. He has a sefer on Sukkah Nulav called Bikur Yaakov. So he quotes Bikur Yaakov, and as far as I know, what I've seen so far, this is the only Maram Mokum that discusses specifically this shaila. Bikur Yaakov says that if the hole goes until the Chadrei Hazera, which means it goes till the esrog, you have the thick white peel, you have the yellow peel around, and then underneath that is a thick white peel. And then inside you have the Chadrei Azera, the little pockets of where the fruit is, right? That's the middle of the Esrog, the fruit. So if the Esrog reaches if the hole goes until the Chadrei Azera, until where the fruit is, so then it's possible. That's what he says. Then you shouldn't take that Esrog, it's possible.
Al-Chosser,
yeah. As we're going to see in a minute, that there's a sugya, and that will be the bulk of today's shiur. We're going to discuss this din of a hole in the Esrog, generally a hole in the Esrog. We're going to see there's different opinions. And l'chatchila b'machmer, that a hole that reaches the Chadrei Azera, that reaches the inside of the Esrog, the fruit, then it's possible, it's a possible Esrog. We don't take such an Esrog. So the Bekor Yaakov says the same thing is true about the hole, this natural hole at the top of the Esrog. Chiddush, in other words, the typical hole that we're discussing is a hole when your child takes the Esrog and bangs a nail into it. That's the hole we're discussing. This kind of hole, a natural hole, isn't Furush and Alocha, but he says, he brings a raya as follows, or maybe explains it as follows, that in the Gemara, as we'll see, many of the halochas of an Esrog, of what makes an Esrog, what makes an Esrog possible, the Gemara learns it from Trefus, from a Trefa animal. If a certain mum, a certain blemish will make the animal a trefa, a non-kosher animal, because the skin is peeled, or it's not able to live because there's a hole in the lungs or in the heart or whatever. So if it makes the animal a trefa, so then it also makes the esrog a posel esrog. That's what it seems from the Gemara, that many of the psulim, we compare it, we run it alongside the dinim of trefa. So he says that if you have a look in the halachas of trefas, in Simon Mem Gimel in Trefus, he quotes a Prima Godim, Yeridea Simon Mem Gimel, quotes a Prima Godim, that says that if there's a hole there's clear Mishnayas that a hole in the lungs makes it a Trefa. A hole in the heart in an animal doesn't make it a Trefa unless it goes to the base Chaloloi, unless it goes to the hollow, to the inside of the heart. So over there, the Prima Godim goes through this Inyan, and he says that even if it was born like that, even if it's Sala Tolda, even if the animal has a hole in any aver of the animal, and it goes through and through, it goes to the hollow of that particular limb, even if it was born like that, it's still a Trefa. So the Bekor Yaakov compares it. He says, so here also we have a hole in the Esrog, running through the top of the Esrog. This is not a hole that was banged in from a nail. It's a natural hole. It's the way it grew. Nevertheless, just like a trefa, it's considered a trefa. Over here also, it's considered a posel Esrog. So that's the din. So now I have my Esrog, and I have to find out, does this hole go to the Beis Chalolo? Does it reach the Cholo? Does it reach the... So the Mishnah Berurah actually brings the Bekor Yaakov, who says, the way to test this would be to put a needle into the hole and see how far it goes. So I put a needle into the hole, and it went pretty far. But how do I decide if it's reaching the base Chalolo or not? If it's reaching... So, I decided to cut up the Esrog and have a look. So, this way it'll certainly be possible and I won't have a Shaila. Yeah, it's easier than checking out the Lochus. So I cut it. And I watched the hole go all the way through it went further than where the fruit of the Esrog is. It went pretty deep down. Right to the base Chalolo, and I thought to myself, good, it's good I didn't use this Esrog, because it would have been a possible Esrog. And then I showed a picture of the Esrog to the person who sent it to me. And I said, look, the Esrog was a possible Esrog, as a whole going right through the base Chalolo. And he said to me, no, it's not. It's not going to the, looking at pictures, it's not going to the Chadrei Azera, it's not reaching the fruit. Now, I don't know how many people here have opened an Esrog, but most of the Esrogim, maybe all of the Esrogim, the way they look is, you cut it open, so there's a thick peel on either side, and then you have the fruit in the middle, and in the middle of the fruit, there's also that continuation of that white pith, if you know what I mean. Yeah, the white that goes around it also runs along the core. In other words, if I take like a kora and core the middle of the Esrog, it depends how thick it is. So if it's thick, I get a little bit of the fruit in. But if it's a thin, if I take a thin strip from the middle, it'll only be the white. So this hole over here, going into the, from the top of the Esrog, didn't reach the Chadrei Azera. I didn't reach, this is what this person told me. That's not called the Posel Esrog. It's not, the hole isn't reaching the fruit. It's not reaching the fruit. It's still in the peel. It can go all the way down to the bottom. It's still in the peel. Now, I understood that when it says reaches the Chadrei Azera means, it reaches the place of the Chadrei Azera. In other words, you've gone down deep enough that you're beneath where the Chavrei Azera started. Not that it has to actually go into the fruit of the Esrog. That's what I thought. He understood differently. I had no way to decide this way or that way. So I gave up. I don't know. I hear. But this year, I looked into it a little bit, and I want to share with you my maskona, which is essentially that I still don't know. But it's a more sophisticated I don't know.
How do you think the thing in the middle is the fruit? It's the pith.
Right. So I understood that when it says the whole reaches the Chavrei Azera, yeah, it doesn't mean actually has to reach the fruit. It has to reach the level of the fruit. But once you've gone so deep down, it's called a hole. That's what I understood it to mean. And let me point out, I asked him, so what does this Bikur Yaakov mean? The Bikur Yaakov that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that says that it is possible when there's a hole. I mean, the hole is never going to reach the fruit, because the fruit is only on the side and the pitum is in the middle. So he said, yes, it's only if there's some sort of crooked, strange hole that goes into the Chavrei Azera, into the fruit. You follow what I'm saying? Because I'm not being clear.
You know what you mean by fruit? The fruit is the stuff on either side, and the pith runs through the middle, like an orange, like a lemon.
That's right. That's right. So therefore you're saying that this actually was kosher.
I'm saying, I don't know what you mean by the fruit. If that's not the fruit,
the fruit?
No, the part on either side is the fruit. The yellow part, the edible part is the fruit. The white part is not the fruit.
No.
That's correct. However, I understood that when we say it reaches the Chavrei Azera, it means if it's gone so deep into the Esrog that you've gone down into the space where the fruit is, even if you're in the middle of that, it's still possible. Because you've reached the Chavrei Azera, the place of the Chavrei Azera.
Yeah, no.
So according to him,
he was wrong because...
That's what I understood, but he understood differently.
The
whole middle of the Esrog.
Exactly.
Right, that's what he understood, whereas I understood, that doesn't mean the whole... That's what I understood, I'm sorry. Whereas he understood, it doesn't mean the whole middle of the Esrog. It has to actually go into the little pockets of the Esrog, of the fruit, the edible part.
According to him, if the hole would go right the way through the Esrog to the other side.
No, then it would still be possible.
From top to bottom,
right?
But only through the pith.
Oh, so that's a good question. So let me have a look a little bit. Let's go learn together a little bit. What he's asking here is, according to what he's saying, it can go straight through the middle, down till the bottom, and it still hasn't reached the Chavrei Azera. So let's learn a little bit the dinim of a hole in the Esrog. We'll go through it together a little bit. And then we'll try and come back to this Shaila and try and work out which way is right, which way is wrong. As I say, we'll remain with a little bit of a sophic, but hopefully it'll be a bit more of a sophisticated sophic, and it all depends on the clock. It begins at this. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah and in the Gozel that discusses a hole in the Esrog, and it says, Nikev, v'chose kolshu, if the Esrog got a hole, and it's missing a little bit, so then it's possible. That's the basic dinim. Again, so now that we're going to go through the basic dinim of a hole in the Esrog, a nekev in the Esrog. If it's missing a little bit, the Mishnah says, if the hole is missing a little bit, it's possible. Nikev aloichos akolshu, if it's not missing anything, then it's kosher. I should point out that the whole shaila is only for the first day, and maybe for the second day. Because the later days of Yom Tov, it's fine. You're allowed to have your yotzon or Esrog with a hole. Even if it's missing, I've had it before, a practical shaila, my Esrog got banged and had a hole on the middle of Yom Tov, and it was still a kosher Esrog. The Gemara says, Rav Chanina matlo be'va'ok v'nofik be. Rav Chanina took a bite from his Esrog on the third day of Yom Tov, fourth day of Yom Tov, after the first day, and then he did the mitzvah with it, on what was left. Yeah, so it's and that's the halacha. That's the halacha l'maisa, not l'chitchila. L'chitchila, you shouldn't take a bite from the Esrog for a few reasons, but it's also muktzah l'mitzvah, it's also l'chitchila, you want a complete Esrog, and also it's not very tasty. But theoretically, if you do take a bite from the Esrog, or if there's any other hole, then you eat it on the second day. So the shaila is all about the first day. That's just a maimar muska, by the way. So the Mishnah says, discussing the first day, nikev chaser kolshu, if it's missing a little bit, it's possible. Nikev loy chaser, if it's not missing anything, it's kosher. Okay, that's one halacha. The lady have a Gemara, and the Gemara says Tony ula bar chiluna, that he said other conditions. Not, look, he said if you have a hole in the Esrog, when is it kosher? When is it possible? He says it this: if it's mefulish, if the hole goes from one side of the Esrog to the other side of the Esrog, then it's possible. And another condition he says, that I'm not going to discuss, if the hole is a big hole, it's the size of an Isser, so then it's also possible. So we have over here an interesting Gemara and a difficult Gemara. How do you reconcile the Gemara with the Mishnah? The Mishnah gave one condition. The condition of the Mishnah was, if it's chaser, if it's missing, then it's possible. Didn't say anything else. The Gemara says a different condition. The Gemara says a different condition. Not if it's chaser, it's not if it's missing, if it's mefulish, if it goes through and through. How do the two conditions work together? Do I need both of them to make a possible? Does either one make a possible? So essentially, it's a machlokes rishonim. It's a machlokes rishonim, a major machlokes rishonim. And you have the way Rashi learns the Gemara, and Tosfos, and the Rosh, and the Rambam, and other rishonim. They all learn the Gemara that the Mishnah is saying one way to make a possible, and the Gemara is saying another way to make it possible. So the Mishnah says if you have an esrog and it's missing a little bit, it's possible. That's one psul. Missing is possible. The Gemara is saying a different psul. If I have a hole which is mefulish, which is going straight through the esrog from one side to the other, foolish, so that is also possible. So I have two ways, that's the way these Rishonim learn, there's two ways to puzzle the esrog. Either it's choser, either it's missing a little bit, or it's mefulish, or it goes straight through. Right? So if I take a needle, go straight through the esrog, it's possible. Nothing's missing, esrog's complete, but the hole has gone all the way through, so it's possible. And therefore, when it comes to that shayla, if the hole was going right from the top, straight through, out the bottom, it would also be possible, because it's going through the esrog. That's one psul. And then there's another psul. It could be a small hole, but it's missing a little bit of the flesh of the esrog, meaning the white peel is missing. So it's also possible. That's one way to learn the Gemara, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, the way the Rosh learns the Gemara, and the way other Rishonim learn the Gemara, the way Rambam learns the Gemara. But then there's another Mahalach in the Rishonim, that's the Reina Chananel, Raivid, Ran, and they learn the Gemara, then no. And when the Gemara says it has to be Mefulish, it means in addition to what the Mishnah says, it also has to be Mefulish. You need two things working against you in order to pass on the Esrog. This opinion is obviously much more lenient. According to this opinion, if there's a hole going right through the Esrog, it's kosher. And if there's a piece missing, it's also kosher. It's only possible when the two things come together. When there's a little bit of the esrog is missing, and it's going right through the esrog. That's the second opinion, the opinion of the Ram. Yeah. How do we paskin? So both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah, and the Mechaber brings both opinions. And the Ramah says, "V'shas atchak, if that's the only esrog you have, you can use it, and you can make a broch on it. So if I only have one esrog, and it has a hole all the way through, I can make a broch. And if I only have one esrog, and it's missing a little bit, there's a small piece missing, I can make a brocha. But it's Shas Adchak, that's the only esrog that we have. However, l'chatchila, you have to be machmir, and follow the first opinion, the opinion of the Rosh, and Tosfos, and the Rambam, that they say that if it's missing a little bit, it's possible, or if it's mefulish, it's possible. That's one machlokes. So let me just point out, when we come to our shayla, according to the more lenient opinion, the opinion of the Ran and the Rabbeinu Chananel, there's no shayla. There is no shayla here at all because there's a hole in the esrog, but nothing's missing. So, even if we consider this to be mefulish, which I haven't explained yet, even if we consider this to be going through the esrog, it still wouldn't be a question. It's a kosher esrog according to the lenient opinions. However, still you have to be machmir. Then there's another question, another discussion in the Rishonim. What exactly does mefulish mean? When we say we go right through the esrog, what exactly do we mean? And this is where this shayla of the Chaver Ezer comes in. Some Rishonim understand it to mean that it has to go, this is the Balachas Gdolos, the Ravid also, and the Rif. Some Rishonim, the Rambam, the Choyra, some Rishonim understand it to mean that it goes all the way through the Esrog. It's only possible if it goes all the way through the Esrog. That's what we explained until now. Mefulish means it has to go all the way through. But then there's other Rishonim that are Machmir. Tosfos and the Rosh are Machmir. And they say that mefulish doesn't mean going all the way through the esrog. Rather, if it reaches the middle of the esrog, the chadrei ezer, it reaches the fruit, that's already called mefulish. That's already called through and through. Through and through doesn't mean all the way through the esrog. Rather, it means through the outer, the inner peel of the esrog, until the chadrei ezer, until the fruit of the esrog, that's what it means mefulish. You've gone straight through the peel. What's the hesber? Why do they say so? They have a raya from Rishalmi, but there's also a hesber. There's a reason they say so. They say the Gemara seems to compare, as we mentioned, the rules of the esrog to the rules of treifa. Now, in a treifa, let's say you have a hole in the heart. The hole doesn't have to go through one side of the heart and come out the other side of the heart. It has to go into the middle of the heart. As soon as the hole has gone into the middle of the heart, the animal is a treifa. So to the esrog, they say, so to esrog, as soon as the hole has gone through the skin of the esrog, the inner skin of the esrog, it's gone out into the middle, into the fruit of the esrog, it's already possible. That's what they learn from treifa, that this esrog is already possible. Why don't they learn from the moyach? So also there, they say the krum and moyach, the krum is a separate thing, so you've gone all the way through it. So do over here. The white is the esrog, and you've gone through one part, so it's possible. But the whole, if it goes only part of the white, you haven't gone through an entire thing. The white is the esrog, the white skin, that's the esrog. The outer peel is nothing. So when you go through the white, if you're going through half of the white, you haven't gone through an entire thing. It's like going through part of the heart without reaching the hollow. But when you go through the whole white, that's the light going through the Krum Shel Moyach, or light going to the Beis Chaloloi. That's the way these Rishonim learn. So they're Mumachmer, and they say that a neck of Mefulash, when we said that a hole going through the Esrog is possible, it doesn't need to go right through the entire Esrog. It's enough if it goes through the Chavrei Azera. It's enough if it goes just until the middle of the Esrog, until the fruit of the Esrog. Okay? So, and because of this Machmerdik opinion, because of this more stringent opinion, therefore we have our Shaila. Then we have a Shaila when there's a hole in the Pittim going through till the Chavrei Azera. The reason we have this Shaila is because some say that's called Mefulash. So how do we pass from Eliezer this halacha? Also, the Mechaber brings two opinions, without an ikkah there, Yesha Imrim, Yesha Imrim, and the Vaita, the halacha is, that if this is the esrog you have, you make a bracha on it. So, let me try and sum up. I see, could be I've lost some people. Let me try and sum up, and through the lens of our Shaila, and then we'll take it further. We have a question over here. We have an esrog with the pittim was missing, and there's a hole going through the pittim into the middle of the esrog. Is this an issue or not? So let's think through the halachas, a hole in the esrog. There is an opinion in the Rishonim that you can have a hole going straight through the esrog and it's still kosher. According to that opinion, it's the Ran, the Mechananel, according to that opinion, there's nothing to worry about. Because you can have a hole going through the esrog. There's no issue. There's another opinion which is more stringent and says if the hole goes through the esrog, it's possible. So we have a Shaila. But over here it doesn't go through the esrog. It only goes to the middle of the esrog. So therefore it could still be Mekel. Even according to that opinion. There are some people, there are some Rishonim that learn. Tosfos, for example, learns, and the Rosh learns, that if you have a hole that goes through the esrog, it's possible, even if nothing's missing. And even if it doesn't go all the way through the esrog, it just goes until the Chavrei Azera, until the middle, it's also possible. So the main, according to those Rishonim, you have to be Machmer. So the Chachil, you have to be Machmer. So now a shayla, the choyre and the chtil, you have to be machmer. But b'di'evet, you would be able to use this esrog without a question for two reasons, two sets of rishonim. Yeah. However, over here it's different. Over here, the neck of his mitzvah told it's a natural hole. So if we take on this chumra of the Bikur Yaakov that assumes that a natural hole is the same issue, so we still have a shayla chtil. However, over here we have a sophic. Is this called, it's reaching the Chavrei Azera, as we began the shir, that's the sophic. So let me just tell, we'll say first of this. The din is, the choyra, the sophic, as I say, even after, I'm going to try and explain the tzodim a little bit. But the din is, but I think even after the tzodim, there's still room to be mistapik, there's room to be in doubt. And the halacha is, that if you have a sophic, whether the hole reaches the Chavrei Azera, you have a sophic, you have a hole in the esrog. Something, your child's taken a needle and stuck it into the esrog. You don't know how far it's gone. And there isn't any reasonable way for you to check. So the din is you can use this esrog, the chatchila. Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, based on the principle of sexveka. It could be that a hole in the esrog is fine. As we saw, it's not missing anything. And even if it is missing, it could be it's not mefulash. It's not going through the whole esrog. Because it could be the middle is not mefulash. So that's one sophic. And the other sophic is it could be the hole isn't reaching the Chavrei Azera. So you don't, the other way around. One sophic is you don't know if it's reaching the Chavrei Azera. And even if it is reaching the middle, even if it is reaching the fruit, you don't know if that's kosher apostle. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you're not sure, it's a sveksveka. So you can be mekel. So the choyra on this esrog also, it's a different kind of sophic. It's not a sophic if you're not sure of the facts. But assuming that it's a fair sophic, whether this is called reaching the Chavrei Azera or not, so therefore, the choyra could be mekel, mekor adin, such an esrog. Because it's lav dafka, even if it reaches the Chavrei Azera, it's only a machlokas. And over here, we're not sure whether this is considered it's reached the Chavrei Azera. Okay. Should we consider this reaching the Chavrei Azera? So, we've explained, so essentially, what I'm left with, more or less, I would sum it up like this. That the Svara tells me that this is, after learning a little bit, looking into it, as I'll share with you, the Svara tells me it's not called reaching the Chavrei Azera, it's still a cave. But on the other hand, I have a little bit of a raya that it is called reaching the Chavrei Azera. So I have a Svara this way and a raya that way. Right? Neither of them are sound, and therefore, let me share with you. What's the reason that the Rishonim and the Machmer, the Rosh is Machmer, he says you have a hole, it reaches the middle of the esrog, it's possible. What's the reason? He says it's just like a train. You've gone through an entire entity. You've gone through the inner white appeal. You've gone in one end and come out the other end. You've gone through it. And since you've gone through it, you've come out the other end. It's a nekem, a fullish. It's through and through. It's through the whole white appeal, the white peel, the white pith. That's the story he says. So over here, when I put the hole, when the hole is going through the top of the, from the pitum, and it's going down and it remains in the white pith, it hasn't gone through anything. It hasn't come out of an entity. It hasn't come out of the other side. And therefore, there's a svar to say, it's not a question of have I reached the heights of the Chadrei Zera. It's not some sort of din that the Chadrei Zera begins a new Matzias or a new Esrog or whatever. The idea is that when you reach the Chadrei Zera, when you reach the fruit, you've gone straight through the white peel, all the way through. And if you've gone through the white peel, it's trefa, it's possum. So over here you haven't gone through anything. So the svar tells me, the choyre that over here can be machshir. Even if it is an issue that reaches the Chadrei Zera, but it hasn't reached the Chadrei Zera, hasn't gone straight through the white. That's the Svara. On the other hand, I have a little bit of a raya, which I'll try and share with in 2 minutes. We said that some Rishonim say that if you have a hole going through to the middle, it's possible. They bring a raya from Rishalmi. The Rishalmi says that pilish, v'loy pilish b'befnim, if the hole is going through but it's not going to the b'fnim, to the inside, then it's kosher. The implication is if it goes to the inside, it's possible. That's the right. So the other Rishonim, the Ravid says, and the other Rishonim learn the Rishonim differently. And they explain the Rishonim say like this. If I have a hole the Rishonim that's saying you need a hole going straight through, they say what the Rishonim is saying is, if I have a hole going on the, coming from this side of the Esrog, going all the way through to that side of the Esrog. I have a hole begins on this side, and another hole begins on the other side. And they don't meet. They each one comes to the fruit. There's a hole going through this side of the peel, then you have another hole, a nail, it's gone on the other side. But the fruit in the middle is still complete. So Yerushalmi is saying you might think it's possible, because you might consider the fruit to be kecholol. You might consider the fruit itself to be as a holo. That's the way they explain the Yerushalmi. The fruit maybe, the hole is going all the way through. It comes on this side through the peel, comes on that side through the peel, and the fruit is complete, but that's hollow. That's the way, comes Yerushalmi saying no. The fruit is not hollow, and therefore it's kosher. That's the way they explain the Rishalmi. Now, I was bothered that if I'm correct that the middle of the Esrog is not called Chadrei Zera, if I'm correct that the white in middle is not called Chadrei Zera, so what's the Havamina? What's the Rishalmi saying? Of course, if I have a hole coming on this side and a hole coming on that side, it's not hollow, because in the middle I have Psara Esrog. I have the white peel of the Esrog going straight through the middle of the Esrog. The implication is that I look at the entire space of the Chadrei Zera to be considered Chadrei Zera. The raya, maybe it's a good raya, maybe it's not. We had longer with the...
It's loved Africa, because you could come from the two sides.
The two sides, and then you have to make the...
Into the fruit.
I understand.
Not going to the centre.
Not going to the centre, that's right. It's loved Africa, could be doesn't go to the centre. On the other hand, then you have to make it in the kimta. They don't say so mafurish. So it's at least a kudmus raya. But that raya is to be machmir. The svara, though, is to be makel. Like, the svara of the choyr is stronger. I see other people agree over here. The svara is stronger. That when you have... The choyr of the svara is stronger. When you have a hole going through the pitum, from the pitum, going down into the middle of the Esrog, since practically it doesn't go on a slant, so therefore, really, you could use such an Esrog for Pashtus on Yom Tov, even though if you have a choice between two Esrogim, one of them has this hole and the other one is perfect, I'd probably go for the perfect one.